Gal Pals Watch. I'm Alicia.
I'm Sarah.
And this is a podcast where we discuss queer women in films, you know, with their, like, a queer-centric character. Lady, usually.
Yeah. Sometimes we get lucky and we watch movies that were actually made by queer people, but yes. Usually not.
Usually not.
But sometimes. I actually don't know if this is one of them.
I think it might be.
At least a woman made it, I think. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
And I think, rewind.
Yeah. The movie we are talking about
is Elena Undone, which is a 2010 film by Nicole Kahn. And she did Clair of the Moon and A Perfect Ending, which I haven't seen Clair of the Moon, but I've heard that it's super cheesy.
Well, this one's also super cheesy, so that doesn't surprise me.
And then A Perfect Ending is also super cheesy. I have watched that one, and that will be fun to review. But I believe it's a queer woman who has made this film because it says, like, the producer is someone with a female name, and then it said, and her amazing, or her one true love, and then it says Nicole Kahn is the director.
Okay. Got it.
So that's what I'm just assuming.
And if she made three queer movies, then she's probably invested in the queer, like, representation.
I guess so.
I would assume. I mean, don't mean to jump to conclusions, but
I don't mean to call you gay, but you're gay. And this is starring Nacar Zadigan. I'm not sure if I said that right. Who I don't know from anything, but apparently she's been in a bunch of TV.
Oh, cool. She was like, her face was kind of like magnetic. Like I couldn't look away from it.
I was just about to say she has a very like, I don't mean this in a weird way, but like an attractive face.
Yeah.
Like. It's just kind of like you can't stop looking at it.
Yeah. She had that mole, that beauty mark.
Yeah.
I was like, God, and your eyes.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, she is very pretty.
Yeah.
And then there's Tracy or Thunderbird.
Really?
Dinwiddie.
Oh, my God. What a name.
Because,
that's amazing.
So I remember, like, because I have seen her in Raven's Touch.
Okay.
And she was in The Walking Dead as well.
Oh. Yeah, I have weird zombie stuff.
Can't handle it?
Nope.
Nope.
It's not for me.
It's a little too, might be, because it's, like, a little too real.
No, just because
like
it's gross.
Like, it might happen?
Oh. No, just because it's gross. Oh. Like, the whole flesh.
But how will you know if you can survive it if you don't
Oh, I won't survive. I don't want to survive that.
Oh.
No, thank
okay.
you.
Right. You can run in front of me.
Okay. Will do.
You'll be my shield.
Okay.
Oh, wait. You're an actual runner.
Temporary shield until I die.
How about I piggyback on you while you run? Because I can't run worth a shit.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Anyway.
When I was researching for this film, her name in the credits is Tracy Dinwiddie, but apparently, I believe she goes by Thunderbird now.
Wow.
Which is pretty rad. That's a choice, and that's a strong choice.
That is a strong choice.
To rebrand yourself as a Thunderbird.
With such a powerful name.
Yeah.
Thunderbird.
Went for it.
Yeah.
This film also features the longest kiss in cinema history.
I was wondering, because that kiss, I was like, how long has this been going on? It feels like 25 minutes.
Yep. I believe it's just over 3 minutes, but that's a lot.
It is a lot.
That's a lot.
Also because they kept going in and out, like panning in, focusing, going out, and like they were just going for it. Like it was a lot of mouth on mouth action. I mean, it was kind of hot, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it was actually like, because it's so interesting because we don't usually see even like any intimate scene be that long ever.
Yeah, that's so
like,
true.
Including sex. So it's kind of like, whoa, this is like a really intimate moment between these people that we're kind of like, you know, spying on. And it's a little strange.
And I kind of found myself thinking like, how many times did they have to do this, first of all? Like, how many takes did they do?
Yeah.
Second of all, like, how are their lips feeling?
Right.
Third of all, like, how... They're actors, like, I don't know. If it was me, I would be so self-conscious. I mean, that's why I'm not an actor. But, like, I would just be like, okay, what are my lips doing now? Like, what is my mouth doing now? Like, especially after a certain amount of time, you're just like...
Yeah, you can't choreograph all of exactly. that. Yeah. You know? Yeah, so I think a lot of it was improv. Mm-hmm. Good job on that.
Yeah.
Some good improv. Good improv kissing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure if they went into making this movie, like, wanting it to have the longest kiss.
Yeah, I wonder if that was a goal.
I think they might have, like, it seems like it would be.
Yeah, I mean, you don't just randomly make a kiss scene that long.
No.
Obviously. Exactly. That's why it's the longest one.
So, yeah, and it's really interesting, and in a way, like, it was realistic to me. Like...
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're making out.
Yeah.
Making out's nice. a little whispering. Oh, he's so thick.
Yeah, they also whisper into each other's mouths a little bit during yes. that scene.
Because they can't lose the lip contact or right. else
Or else it's not
over.
A kiss scene
it's
anymore.
It's not a kiss scene.
Yeah, and they had to get in that Guinness Book of World Records or something. It was important.
Yes. I wonder if it's been outdone yet. And by who?
Undone?
Undone
done. Or outdone?
Out of the closet.
It should have been Elena outdone.
Who's outdoing her?
Huh. She came out of the closet. I don't know.
I just made an obscene hand gesture, but I realized that this is a podcast, so no one can see me.
Maybe you should say what this movie's about, other than the kiss.
Totes. So it's about two ladies who kiss. No.
Well, yes. I mean, it is.
So basically, I forgot to write down the names.
Peyton and Elena.
Peyton and oh yeah. That was so funny. Like, who's that lady? Elena. That was great. It's been a long week, folks. So basically, it's about this woman, Elena, who is married to a pastor. And
surprise, spoiler alert, another douchey ass dude.
Yeah. And
he's not horrible in the beginning, but he gets worse.
Yeah. And there's a lot of layers to that relationship.
Yeah.
Which we will explore more. But basically, she meets this woman, Peyton, and falls in love with her. Mm-hmm. And I would say more than half of the movie is like anguish.
Oh,
and
yeah.
like drama
oh, yeah.
fueled around.
This movie is about 600 times more dramatic than it needs to be.
Oh my god.
Because there's too many things happening that are too dramatic.
Okay.
So at least
what
that
do you
was
think?
My impression.
No, I can understand
yeah.
that, but what do you think are the...
Well, okay, so there's the whole trope of like, that's kind of at the center of the film where Elena thinks she's straight, Peyton is the out lesbian, she's got her lesbian best friend. She's gone through a breakup. She wanted to be a mom with her partner that she was married to for 6 years.
Yeah. Peyton wanted to
yeah,
be a
Peyton.
Mom.
I'm talking yeah. about Peyton now. And her mother just died.
Yeah.
Which
You're
is
right.
a weird
like...
thing that happens at the beginning, which I'm not sure the point of having that be a plot point.
Plot
but.
Point, yeah. I feel like the mother's death only... Like, its purpose was to show insecurities in Peyton because they kind of, like, scatter throughout the film,
That's
like,
so
Peyton's
true.
Memories.
Yeah, you're right. So her mother apparently was really heavy-handed with all of her advice.
I'm so glad you said that. I feel like the mom's advice was, like, super inappropriate.
It was. And also not realistic. Like,
no one
– there were sentences that were, like – If someone was writing an essay and they were, like, trying to conclude something.
Oh, my God, you're right. It sounds like a high school essay.
Yeah.
When you love, expect disappointment.
Yeah, like, that kind of shit. And she's, like, telling this to, like, 8-year-old Peyton
yeah.
or whatever. And
Way
it's
to
just,
fuck
like,
someone
really?
Up.
Like, no one, first of all, no one speaks like that yeah. in those, like, declarative,
yeah.
like, sentences.
Yeah.
Second of all, no one definitely speaks that way to their 8-year-old kid.
If someone does talk to you that way, please walk away from
yeah,
them because
be like,
they are too into themselves.
Yeah, and also maybe they're just, like, not thinking their own thoughts because it's, like,
true.
Just, I don't know.
That is true.
It was weird.
They're paraphrasing.
Yeah, but I guess not. The purpose of having the mother, like, be in the narrative that's, like, is to, yeah, show Peyton's, like, why she thinks the things she thinks, or like why she is insecure in some ways, and
like there was that one,
why she's guarded.
Yeah, super guarded.
She's very guarded, and I think that was like a big thing.
And like one of the scenes was, at least I'm remembering three of the memories. So one of them was the one I was just saying, when you love, expect disappointment. Mm-hmm. And she says this to Peyton after she comes home crying, saying that her best friend's moving away.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is kind of an inappropriate statement.
Yeah, it's definitely not helpful.
it's not helpful. It's not necessarily appropriate because, like, yes, you could talk about, like, friend love and things like that, but it's just, like, a little too heavy-handed
for
the situation. Really, it should be like, oh, my gosh, sweetie, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
When did you find out how hard it is when
your friends move away and stuff like that.
Yeah, oh, we'll have to have her over and have her over. Family over and you know, like that kind of thing. And her mom was like,
well, that's just life.
Suck it.
You're gonna be disappointed. Never love anyone.
Never love anyone. And then she says two other really awkward things. One was that tea can fix any pain.
Yeah.
Which you know a bitch loves tea, but like not gonna cure my depression. And then probably the weirdest of them all was she had a dollhouse, and she was like, you can make your life exactly how you want it. You can place anything. And it was just kind of like, no.
Some real damaging things to say. But also, no one would say that.
I hope not.
I don't know. Whatever. At least not in that way.
Yeah. So that's one of the dramatic things. So Peyton's mom is dead already. DOA at the beginning of this movie. I'm sorry.
Anyway, the drama from that is that's Peyton's character, but then there's like what I was saying, the trope about the quote-unquote straight girl falling in love with the gay girl, which really is how it is. I think it's Elena who really becomes infatuated with Peyton,
super
more so
infatuated
than the other way around.
Yeah.
But when they do finally get together, Peyton's like, I mean, okay, I'm here for it for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then it's, like, more of that drama of, like...
And there's another trope of, like, I'm not going to leave my husband kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And not really because she loves him or anything.
No,
but
she does not love him. And it's clear that their sex is really, like, one-sided.
Terrible.
It's, like, just for him. Mm-hmm. She apparently wants another baby, even though they already have a son. This is interesting.
That was confusing to me because...
Yeah, I thought maybe he was a son from a previous relationship because I was like, why would she want a baby so badly if she has a teenage son?
It's just... It was confusing.
But then he called her mom, so... Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
It was just confusing to me because, like, all right, so she already has a kid, but also I think he wanted to have a kid more than she did.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
But there's a switch at some point in the movie where she still wants a baby, but, like, that was never clear in the beginning,
true,
so it's a little...
Yeah, she does have a baby anyway, even without him.
It's super confusing to me.
Well, the son is a weird character, too, because he's a teenager, and
another
he has...
Another source of drama.
Yes, so much drama with him. He has a girlfriend who I think is my favorite character in this movie.
Yeah, and she's been kind of, like, adopted by their family, I think.
Yeah.
I think she might live with them.
Yeah, well, she's definitely there
all the time.
Yeah, and she calls
not,
them
not like legally,
mom.
Yeah, not, like, legally adopted
no.
or anything like that, but I think, like, they don't go into her home life or anything like that. We
she
don't ever see her at home.
She has great style because she wears ties all the time.
Oh, yes. She dresses, like... an adorable little lesbian.
Yeah.
But she's not one.
No. But she is, like, very politically, like, attuned to things, so...
Super.
Like, the husband... What's the husband's name? Elena's husband? Do you remember?
Douchebag McGillicuddy.
Yeah, okay. So, Douchebag McGillicuddy is, like, super hella homophobic, even though... He kind of claims he's not, but, like, he has to toe the line of the church and stuff. There is a really homophobic lady in their church.
Oh, my God, super.
Who is, like, it's really fucking horrible, actually. She says a lot of horrible things, and then later when she catches Peyton and Elena kissing, she, like...
Loses her mind.
Oh, my God. She loses
so
her
ways.
Fucking mind, and then she makes everyone's life a living hell. But anyway, the son and the girlfriend are, like... interesting characters, I think, because it's just funny to, like, have a kid, because he's in high school, right?
Yeah. I would assume so.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I don't have any context for this in my life. I mean, my brother, not to, like, say my brother's whole story, but he had a serious girlfriend in high school. But, like, she wasn't over at our house all the time. And it wasn't, I don't know. I just feel like they were treated so much like adults, which isn't a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
Like, you mean maybe, like in the film they were treated so much like adults?
Okay. Yeah. And by the parents, like.
Mm-hmm. Especially for like a pastor's son.
Yeah.
But I feel like, yeah, there's just a lot that was unexplained there that mm-hmm. made it a little confusing.
Yeah. At first I was like, is that her daughter? And then I was like, no.
No.
That's the girlfriend. Yeah. I hope.
Yeah. It's. Yeah, there's so much drama with him as well, but there's, like, this movie is very strange.
It is. It's really strange.
Because it also has, like,
we haven't talked about Tyler yet, and that's the weirdest part of this whole thing.
That's what I was just going to get into. So it's all kind of, like, framed in this weird exposition mm-hmm. from, like, Tyler is creating a video about his solemetry,
mm-hmm.
Which is like his like practice of like finding or having a one true love kind of deal, which
he's
I think,
a love psychic type person.
Yeah, kind of like a guru.
Yeah,
too. Yeah. So
yeah,
he,
I guess they do call him a guru.
Oh, they do.
At one point, well, I think it's Peyton's friend who's like, "We're going to see this love guru or whatever."
Oh, maybe they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just like that kind of thing where he. I don't know. He has this, like, theory of you're just, like...
Twin flames.
Twin flames. Yeah. That's what it is. And that, like, you have a twin flame somewhere else in the world, and when you find them, it'll be blah, blah, blah. It's basically one true love.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is such a damaging concept.
I do, too. This part really bothered me. First of all, I didn't like his character at all. He gave me real creepy vibes. But maybe that's just...
He's a weirdo.
He is weird, but also, like... I don't know. He also, at one point, I mean, he's a white dude, like, making documentaries about, like, queer people, and also straight people, but, like...
And he says himself that he's kind of gay?
Well, he said that... So he's, I guess, like, married to his wife.
Yeah.
They're married, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're supposedly twin flames. But then he has this whole thing where he's like, everyone always thought I was gay, but I'm not. And I was like, Macklemore, is that you?
Oh my god. What is that? Like, what does he say? I was like, basically being gay for drawing.
Yeah.
Song. Oh god. You know, I really did like that song when it came out.
I did too, but it's.
The more you listen to it, you're like, oh god. Like,
I mean, I'm all about Mary Lambert.
Oh yeah, always.
She's great.
She's amazing. yeah, but Tyler's super strange. And. Yeah, basically.
And he's too involved in other people's lives. That's
what I think. He basically, like, eggs Elena on the whole time, like, once she admits that she's, like, interested in Peyton.
Mm-hmm. Well, they meet at his event thing that he holds. Because.
Well, no, they met at the adoption.
Oh, that's right. They met at adoption.
And that's why he thinks, like.
Right.
Oh,
he's like, oh, look at you guys. Twin flames. Bye. that's my laugh for Tyler.
Like, they were meant to be because they happened to be at the same adoption event together.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, no, that's how people meet.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how these
just
things
happen.
They see
each other in the world.
Yeah.
It's okay. Just, calm down.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like. The idea of one true love is very romantic, and I understand the appeal of it, mm-hmm. but I feel like it's super damaging,
mm-hmm.
and I don't believe in it.
I 100% agree.
Because I refuse to believe that out of, there's close to, what, 8 billion people on this earth now, if not 8 billion already,
mm-hmm.
that I can't, and I have already proven it wrong, that, like, I have loved many people mm-hmm. in my life. I loved many women romantically, and mm-hmm. it's like... It reminds me of this song. Have you ever heard of the comedian Tim Minchin?
No.
So he's an Australian comedian, mm-hmm. and basically he writes songs, like comedic songs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his songs is, "If I Didn't Have You, Someone Else Would Do." And it's basically like, it's a romantic song in the sense of, like, out of all these people, we mm-hmm. found each other, and isn't mm-hmm. that amazing?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I would still be able to find someone else, but that is still amazing.
Yeah.
That in this huge world, we're still able to find people that, like, we are connected with.
Yeah.
But this dude is, like, obsessed.
Yeah.
He's building a career on it. Mm-hmm. Soul-emetry. Soul-emetry.
It also means we get some interesting little documentary tidbits sprinkled throughout this movie where he's interviewing couples.
Yeah, and this, like, at the very beginning of the movie, it says it's all based on true stories. And yeah. I'm like, but that... like, I already don't believe you.
Yeah.
Like, I can understand these things happening, but, yeah, I guess he's working on a documentary and he's kind of, like, interviewing different sorts of people that you wouldn't expect to be in relationships together.
Yeah, so, like, there's a gay couple, a lesbian couple, and then a couple that has multiple personality stuff going on, and then...
Like, wait, did you say an old couple?
Oh, yeah, there was an old couple, too.
There's an old couple. A gay couple that are possibly, like, Muslim, or they're from a Muslim country.
Yeah.
Like, a lesbian couple.
Interracial lesbian couple.
Yeah, with a ex-addict and a nun, ex-nun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's just, like, I can
nuns
totally...
be lesbians, though, for real.
Duh.
Yeah.
Yes, because I know so many people who... people, women... and by so many, I mean more than one, who have thought of, like, they thought of becoming nuns as, like, children because they were just like, I don't want a husband.
Yeah.
And, like, how the hell am I going to get out of this?
Do you know Jean Cordova?
That sounds so familiar.
I don't think she's alive anymore, but she was a writer, and she wrote a bunch of memoirs about, because she was a nun, and, like, hardcore lesbian nun, and she wrote a bunch of rad memoirs. She, like, rode her motorcycle around and stuff. Awesome. Sounds really cool. I haven't read anything by her, but I'm planning to.
I think nuns are awesome.
Yeah.
And
they're way better than priests.
Yep.
As we all know. From this movie and from life.
I just think of, like, it's basically a fun sleepover every day. Yeah. You just have to pray sometimes.
Yeah. I mean.
No, I'm kidding.
No.
It's more than that.
It would be really fun if it was that.
Like a summer camp.
Yeah.
Just summer camp.
Except, why does, like, Jesus have to be there?
That's my question. Jesus is everywhere.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry. My last Catholic came out. Let's see. What else about this movie is really strange? All of it.
All of it.
Nash is the son. He also develops a drinking problem randomly in this film.
It's because his mom's a lesbian, he finds out, and then he can't handle it.
Yeah, and he is really upset, even though he hates his dad. He is really upset that, like, there's a possibility that his parents will get
a divorce. Yeah.
And
then he turns,
like,
into a 2-year-old child, and he steals a tiny bottle of liquor.
Alcohol.
And then he cries very dramatically.
Very deeply.
Under an underpass or something. While he, like, drinks this tiny bottle of liquor. And then apparently he goes back to the store where he stole that to try and get Doritos.
Yeah. Nailed it. He's nailing it.
Which I just thought was, like, the most hilarious storyline.
And, like, yeah, I thought it could have, like, it could have been fine, but it was just, like, it was super rushed.
It was
very,
very rushed.
Overacted.
Oh, my God, so much.
It was just,
this,
like,
whole movie is overacted.
It is. But,
like,
it was just
extreme.
But it was just kind of, like,
Yeah.
And then also, I felt like once a shit starts hitting the fan, I get really confused in terms of timeline.
Yeah.
It starts to kind of get really choppy.
This movie especially is like that.
Yeah, it starts to get really choppy, and, like, I'm not sure how much time has passed.
Mm-hmm.
I only know, like, one event because they're wearing coats in the park, so
right.
It must be, like, winter, but I don't know what it was before, but no one was wearing coats, so it must be warmer. Like, I'm like, how many months has it been? How many years? No.
I know, and then, like, suddenly they see each other after a long period of time, and you're like, what happened?
Yeah.
And then one of them's pregnant.
Yeah. And then the other one's, like, pissed.
With Tyler's,
like,
baby, of all fucking people.
And he says, it's my greatest accomplishment to mankind. And
I know.
Like,
it's,
I
like,
fucking castrate you.
Yeah.
Like, no, but it's just, like,
go away, Tyler.
When people think their greatest accomplishment is, like,
donating semen.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like, reproducing. I'm just kind of we are more than one thing. You can be more than one thing. And, like, children are beautiful and fantastic. And you can make them into beautiful, fantastic people.
Well, you can try.
But putting sperm in someone is not... Yeah. That's your greatest accomplishment in life. Like, oh, yikes.
I don't know why. He's so creepy. Like, he's just all up on people, like, physically, too.
Which he seems very touchy.
Yeah, and it seems like Elena, because he and Elena are, like, best friends or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't see why, because, well, I don't really feel any chemistry between them as, like, characters, but also when he's so handsy with, like, everyone, including her, and I don't know, if I had a dude friend that was doing that, I'd be like, no, like, back away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't touch me like that.
Yeah, and it seems like...
If you want to, then you need to ask.
Yeah. And it seems like Elena's husband, and Tyler all went to, like, film school together or something like that.
Yeah, because Tyler was, like,
or
at one point...
at some point. Yeah. Like, whatever it is.
At one point, Elena's husband says, like, oh, he was going to be the next great film person or whatever, but then he decided to go on this other path
of making
documentaries about couples.
Yeah, and Nash says something to the effect of, like, his father being a pastor is the best gig he could get.
Oh, yeah.
Like, insinuating that he's some sort of entertainer, or was, like, he was in drama school or something like that.
Yeah.
And we know that Elena was and is a photographer.
Right. So they must have gone to some kind of art school.
Yeah. And it's interesting that Nash is so in touch with his parents' flaws.
Yeah.
And that, like, he can kind of, like, see right through his dad, and he's like, yeah, this is, like, a steady gig for him. And, like, yeah, he's not truly, like, the biggest homophobe ever, but, like, he does have to, in a sense, toe the line. But it's like, why? Why bother doing something like that?
Yeah.
What are you going to say about Payne?
That she's a writer.
Yeah.
She wrote a memoir about being an agoraphobe.
Oh, that's what it was.
Which I thought was interesting because you don't get any of that other than just the mention of it.
Yeah, because I saw, like, the title or the cover of the book, but I couldn't read the title.
It was something, maybe it was when she flipped it over to the back or something, but it was, like, a memory of agoraphobia, or a memoir of agoraphobia.
Interesting.
Yeah. And
if I had a pool at my house, though, I might never leave either.
Yeah. But she does leave. She leaves all the time.
I know.
And Elena was, like... Her response to that, seeing the book, she was like, oh, I never would have known. Like, I can't tell that you're an agoraphobe. And I was like, ugh.
It's just so random.
Yeah. Like,
I totally
everyone
missed that
stop
whole part.
With this.
I, like, totally missed all of that. But I feel like this movie has a lot of those little things where you're just like, wait, what?
Yeah. You're like, oh, another really random, weird thing.
Is that necessary?
Okay.
In general, like, I thought Elena and Peyton were, like, cute and, like, I actually, like, I thought they had good chemistry in the beginning.
Yeah.
And, like, that scene where Elena
is... The most awkward scene in the world.
Which one do you think I'm going to say?
Where she was like, oh, I mean, I voted your way. I voted for Prop
8. Oh, no.
I mean, I voted against Prop 8. Whatever it was the right way. It was your way.
Yeah, your way.
I just want you to know, I don't have anything against philosophy. It was like, whoa, stop.
I was actually thinking something even more awkward is when... Elena volunteers to do Peyton's headshots.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, like, a lot of, like, obviously, like, heavy breathing. And there's, like, a sensual connection with the photography because she's observing her. But Elena, like, is losing her mind. She's, like...
Elena's always losing her mind when she's observing Peyton. Like, when they first meet up in the park to look at Elena's, like, portfolio of photographs. And Peyton is like, oh, these are so good or whatever. And then she was like, I wanted to write about, or I don't know what she says, but something about how, like, women are delicious. Do you remember that?
That's what, Peyton said that women
Peyton
are delicious.
Yeah, Peyton says that.
Yeah.
And Elena's face, she's like, I'm wet. Like, oh.
I flood my basement.
Yeah. oh, God, it really was like that.
She, like, really, like, can't control herself around
she's
Peyton,
totally infatuated,
which causes a lot of issues because, like, she starts to kind of, like, separate herself from her from her family because she just can't get enough of Peyton. And Peyton is just kind of like, I feel like she's kind of like going with the flow of things for the most part in the beginning, but it's not until Elena's like totally in it and they like start to have sex that Peyton cares.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, like we can't be so casual anymore. Mm-hmm. but Elena's infatuation just like doesn't stop.
Yeah.
It's a little strange.
Yeah.
But it's intense.
It is really intense. But also, I don't feel super invested in it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't care about you that much.
Well, that's the thing that, like, I was kind of disappointed with was because, like, they had really good chemistry and during that scene, even though it was, like, goofy as hell.
It was really goofy.
And, like, Elena can't hold the camera right and she keeps knocking shit over and there's like a lot of
she
staring.
Does that a lot. She gets really nervous, like even when she's at home she like drops the spoon from the mixing bowl and stuff every time someone brings up the word lesbian.
It's super cheesy.
It's like, you're so obvious.
You're so
you're
obvious.
Most obvious.
But then like with all the drama I was just kind of like I don't care anymore.
I know. By the end, I was like, is this movie over yet?
There was too much drama. Mm-hmm. And then, like, for me to, like, want to care.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, so there is a happy ending, but it's super rushed, which we've seen before. And it's just,
things
like...
Things being rushed happens in this movie quite a bit.
Yes, all the time.
It's like, and some parts are too slow, and some parts are too fast. It's not very well paced.
No, it's not. And but it's confusing. And
it is confusing.
It's a confusing pace. I don't necessarily understand where it's, I don't know, where it's going, what it's from.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a happy ending to this movie, so, like, if you want to watch it, cool, go ahead.
Just don't set your expectations too
high. Don't set your expectations
You could probably find The Kiss on YouTube and just watch that.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I would say the first half of this movie is pretty good.
Yeah.
First quarter.
It was
basically
okay.
Until we get to that kiss is about it, and then you can probably shut it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, 2 out of 5 stars. We're rating now. No.
As of this second.
Right now. Also, it starts off, I forgot to say this, it starts off with a purple overlay.
It does.
So it has, like, everyone in purple, and they're just, like, when Tyler's talking about the twin flames thing, and it's, like, this weird scene of, like, Elena and Peyton walking in a park. Purple, and I was just, like, what the fuck? This is what this movie's gonna be about, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, my first impression of the movie, based on that scene, which I then promptly forgot about, apparently, I was like, what is this?
Yeah, it reminded me of a lot of lesbian films, like, in that kind of cheesy romantic drama where it's kind of like, it's like someone took a romance novel. Oh my God. Yeah, it's like
it
someone took
like
a romance
that.
Novel and made
And, like,
a
not a good one. Like, a bad one.
Yeah. Like a standard fare one.
Yeah.
You know? I was too busy. For a book, it might have worked. Not for a movie.
No.
Let us know what you think of this film.
The look on your face.
I'm just kind of like, huh?
You're like, well, I guess.
Well.
If you want.
If you want. I'm not going to make you. It's been a long week. I'm
but
super
if you do
tired.
Have thoughts, yeah.
Sing a sad song and watch this movie.
This would be a good movie to watch while singing a sad song.
Yeah.
But it lasts a lot longer than the length of a song, so you'd have to sing it a lot.
A lot.
Or you could watch it, or you could not watch it. And
you could
do something else with your life.
Whatever you want, treat yourself.
Thank you, Retta.
Aw, I love you, Retta.
I had some issues with her memoir, but...
Oh, I have not read it.
That's a discussion for another time.
Okay. Duly noted.
Yep.
Do you have any other thoughts on this movie? Anything else you'd like to add?
No.
No, I think we covered it all.
Yeah.
It's really busy.
Not in a good
confusing.
Way.
Confusing.
Yep.
A little hot.
Yeah.
I'll give it that.
Yeah. There's also a pretty hot sex scene.
Yeah.
Or, like, foreplay or something.
Sexy-ish scene.
I don't know. They have their shirts off.
Boobs.
There are some boobs. They're very well lit, the boobs.
Oh, yes.
I thought.
Yes.
I was like, okay, I appreciate
nicely
this.
Lit. That, yeah. I'm sick of seeing just, like, close-up on skin. Show me some boobs. No.
Boobs.
Boobs. All right.
This is devolved.
Devolved. Well, thank you so much for listening again.
Yes.
Maybe I'll be a bit more cheery this time. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you think. if you've seen this movie, if you really like this movie. Do you know if it was based on a book? I didn't know. But it feels like it was.
I definitely won't be reading it.
No.
If it is.
No, I've already been spoiled. I don't want to read it. Yeah. All right. Send us an email at galpalswatch@gmail.com or hit us up on Instagram at galpalswatch.
Or on Twitter at galpalswatch. Surprise.
Woo!
Or on Tumblr at galpalswatchthepodcast.tumblr.com.
Wahoo! And I've also made, this is like a while ago, but I made a little Spotify playlist that I need to add to. Add anything from this movie, but.
No. Well, there was, what was it? Song, I think it was about Elena, like they used the word, the name Elena, but it was during that kiss scene.
And there
scene.
Was one about Undone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
So maybe we could find
I'll have to find it. Yeah. Or I can find the one of Tyler singing.
No.
That's my favorite.
Don't do that.
Why?
We don't like Tyler.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you can do it if you want.
Is it because he's not gay? Actually, he kind of is. I don't know. All right, bye.
Bye.
Gay.